Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, beginning at verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, beginning at verse 16, 5:16. We're talking today about personal happiness, how you can be happy all the time. Not only that you should be, but how? Because it's universal. All men want to be happy, but they don't know how. They don't know how to do it. So, personal happiness is the most universal desire. But hurt and frustration is the most universal result. With a desire, but without the capacity to fulfill that desire, unless he turns to God. So, men have universally done things to get happiness, and they have failed utterly to find it. For example, if you're selfish, on the board I've written different options. If you're selfish, you will not be happy because though you take care of yourself, you have to do so at the neglect of God and others. If you decide you'll go with God, you diminish your own happiness because against God and against the neighbor, and you succeed in doing so, you still might end up unhappy, as is universally obvious. Anybody who decided, well, I'm just not going to love God, I won't consider him, and I just won't care about the neighbor, I'll just find happiness, never happened. No Pharaoh, no Hugh Hefner, no Howard Hughes, no person on earth that just took care of himself never ended up happy. Never happened. So it's universal among men to seek it, and one way is to be selfish. Don't consider anyone else. So that's your first option, is to be selfish. The problem is that's your only option. You only have that option. Without God, you don't have another option. Now, people think they do. People think, okay, I won't be selfish, I'll be selfless. See, I'll just be selfless. I'll totally please others. I will never please myself. I'm just going to go ahead and please everybody else. I'll sacrifice my own interests. I'm just going to do for others. That's great. Another great idea. That's very moral of you, and it never works. To please yourself doesn't work. To please others doesn't work. Neither of them work. So if I'm selfish, it doesn't result in happiness. Momentary pleasure, of course. I play golf all day long. I play bridge all day long. I can do what I want. But it still doesn't produce happiness. First of all, there are other people in your family that resent that. They resent that you are happy, but you didn't take care of them. You didn't think about them. So life has a way of making the selfish people pain, because they've caused pain by only taking care of themselves. So it's very hard to be selfish, even if you decide to do it. And if you decide to go selfless, oh, I don't care. Just do whatever you want. And just so you're happy. this also is a false solution. And those are the only two obvious solutions. But there is a middle one, B. I know what I'll do. I'll mix the two. I'll give a little bit of selfish for myself. I'll eat ice cream when I want. I'll at least go out once a week for my fun. But I'll also include a little bit of God and a little bit of the neighbor. So I'll do both. I'll just have to decide how much I owe myself and how much I owe others. That's B. And I suspicion a few of you have thought of that one. Is I won't be entirely selfish because I know that's not right. But neither will I be entirely selfless because I know that is not good for me. It might be good for others, but I even doubt that because I've tried to love other people and they don't even seem to appreciate that I've given up so much for them. And so you discover that both A and C don't work, so you try B. It is natural of natural man to try different options. Selfish, mixture, selfless. Those are the three natural options. Are you all with me so far? This is just a description. I'm not saying it's good or bad at this point. I'm just simply saying this is what people do. In fact, people have tried from the beginning of the world to find happiness through one of these three methods. B seems to be the most judicious, the most balanced. Well, I'll take care of myself a little bit. I'll buy the dresses I want. I'll eat what I want. I'll watch what television I want. I'll get a little bit of happiness for myself that way. And then I'll also try to please God and give him his due. I won't take it terribly seriously because I know I'm not totally selfless. I am taking care of myself, so I feel a little bit guilty about that. And I'll also take care of my neighbor to some extent. That should please God, even though it isn't perfect. At least I've done the best I could, and I got a little bit of happiness also. You can see that all three are crazy. None of those work, and so in counseling people, it's obvious to me where they are. Now, most are in B, but they're really A's. And those that pretend like they're in C are absolutely, obviously A's. Because it all boils down to this fact that without God, you're an A. And if you get God wrong, if you get him under the law, if you have a God but you have him under a law, you're forced then to do your duty to God, B, and your duty to the neighbor, C. But that doesn't eliminate A. So even though you try not to be selfish, you're still selfish even in trying not to be selfish. And you end up getting hurt and disappointed and disillusioned because if you don't love C, the neighbor, you're going to be punished. And God's going to get you eternally, B. And you're going to be unhappy, A, temporally. And so this is not going to work. Now, I'm very clear on this. Are you clear like I am so that I can leave that topic? I could leave A alone if you understand that selfish and selfless don't work, but neither does a mixture of the two. Because it's too hard to figure out, now how much do I owe myself and how much do I owe them? I think I gave them a little bit too much there. I'll get a little bit for myself and I'll make up for it. It's too hard. Reason, natural man, and morals, natural conscience, will not allow me to settle that. I will never get it right. That's why natural man is always frustrated. He is inadequate to the job. If human happiness is the goal, I was better off when I was a little kid. I was better off when I was completely helpless. At least I had food and clothing and people took care of me and I laughed and danced because I didn't know anything. Ignorance is bliss. And so a lot of people get drunk, a lot of people take dope, a lot of people just simply become childlike emotionally because they can't figure it. They're frustrated. They cannot find happiness. You can marry 5 times, you still can't find it. You can divorce the person you're with, still won't help. You can do all that you want to do, it's not going to work. because you don't know the secret to human happiness. Now, have I described it well enough? I mean, the poets, whether it's the cowboy singing in the cowboy bar or Frank Sinatra singing in Las Vegas, they all know this problem, is that human happiness just not come about. Ever. Now, there are those that are pretending. They're pretending that they're happy. Hugh Hefner certainly is pretending with his Playboy philosophy. This is the man's only way to happiness. And Freud agrees with him, and so on. But if you look at Freud's pictures, the older he got, the more dismal he became. It reminds me of Leonardo da Vinci. When he was a young man and painted his self-portrait, he was full of optimism and confidence when he was an old man, and he painted his self-portrait. Not only did he paint the wrinkles, he also painted the despair, the emptiness, the failure. He could not succeed, because nobody in this world can find happiness without God and without love to the neighbor. So, I have found the secret. I pray that you have found the secret, and that I'm speaking to those who have found the secret, but you may not understand why the secret works. Why at times you are happy, and why at times you're not happy. If you revert, if you go back, if you fall back on Roman numeral 1, selfish, selfless, mixture. If you fall back on that natural predilection, that natural inclination, tendency, that's why you're unhappy. And all of us do that from time to time. We forget, and then we become selfish again, and then we become selfless, and then we try to mix the two, and you're just not going to make it. In those days, you might as well be on lithium, because you're not going to figure it out or work it out until you return to the Lord. That's why God says in the Bible, and I'm going to read it, seek first the kingdom. Seek first God. Do your duty to God first. Seek first the kingdom. Do your duty to God first. But if you do the duty to God first, but it's a legalistic God you're doing the duty to, number one, it won't work. You can't do it under Catholicism, or under Islam, or under Buddhism, or Judaism, or Hinduism, or Confucianism, or Taoism, or any other ism, or philosophy, or approach of man. So all of those works, including Christendom, forms of Christianity which are legalistic based, they won't work. So whether conservative or liberal, doesn't matter. If the religion that you have introduces God in the wrong way, it still doesn't work. And you could be charismatic even. That doesn't mean anything. It's just an outward cover for inward problems that you don't deal with. So it isn't that, oh, we're a charismatic church, therefore we're happy. No. That just means you sing happy songs and miracles keep you distracted and so on. But the truth is, it still doesn't produce real happiness. Now listen to the Bible. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's happiness. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. But a lot of people have trusted in the Lord, so they thought, and didn't find happiness. So obviously that statement can be read in the wrong way and in the right way. In other words, you could read it in a legalistic fashion according to the letter of the law. And though you think you're trusting in the Lord, you're actually not. Because is the Lord going to give me away? See, for most people, they think, if I ever give myself up to God, then I won't have a life of my own. I won't have a life of my own. Now watch the opposite teaching. Because that is not true. If you are a Christian, personal self-interest is kept. Personal happiness is a good thing. In fact, it's mandatory. You must be happy. It's not must like under the law, but it's must like that's what the gospel is all about. Good news means your personal happiness. In other words, worship of God doesn't exclude you. If I give myself to God, I haven't destroyed myself. Now, that's most people's picture. If I give myself to God, I'll destroy myself. I wish the tape had the illustration on the board behind me, because it's so clear. It's so clear that people are confused because they can't sort out the difference between selfish, selfless, mixture, and then self-interest, and then worship of God, and love to the neighbor. But all of those work perfectly under Roman numeral number 2, the lower three options. And that is why we're happy all the time. Now, I'm going to go straight for the end so that you can see how it works. Self-interest is good. That's called self-love without ambition, without self-adulation, without selfishness. So self-interest is self-love without selfishness. Self-interest is not selfish. But neither is it selfless in the natural sense. But it is selfless in the spiritual sense, because I don't have to worry about myself, because God's taking care of me. So the E takes care of D. My self-interest, which is natural, I want to preserve myself, I want to be happy, that's natural. And that's not bad. That's good. Unless you join it with selfishness or selflessness in the natural sense, or mixture up on top. Self-interest is good. You must have self-interest. For God so loved the world, God loves you personally. That's self-interest. I must have self-love because God loves me. So I must love me if God loves me. I must love what God loves. If I love God, I must love what He loves, and He loves me, so I must love me. But He also loves my neighbor. So, it isn't selfish, nor is it selfless. God's love makes me both self-love and neighbor love at the same time, because I have God love. And the reason I love God is because He first loved me. But because He loved me, I don't need to take care of myself, so I can take care of my neighbor. Now, I said that way too fast so that you may not have understood how I jumped around. But I just did D, E, and F and excluded A, B, and C. There is no selfishness in the Christian walk. There is no selflessness in the Christian walk, and I call that natural selflessness. And there is no morality, which is B. What I'm trying justly to figure out, how much do I love my neighbor and how much do I love myself? Let's see. I gave too much to my husband. I have to do a little bit for myself now. I don't know how the world calls it, take time out for myself or whatever. They have categories for that. It is, well, make sure you spend a little time for yourself. Sometimes people will give a gift to us, and they'll say, now make sure Peggy gets part of this, because they want to make sure that my meanness doesn't overwhelm Peggy. So if they just gave it to us, they might, and I took it, they might think he'll buy a book or something, and then Peggy will get nothing. So now make sure Peggy gets part of this. It's good. But that's because they're thinking A, B, C. They do not trust D, that self-interest includes other interests. Self-interest includes God. Self-interest, in other words, includes the first four commandments and the second six. If I really care about myself, then I must care for God, give Him the first duty, and I must care for my neighbor. That's my second duty, my social duty, my society duty. If I don't love others, they will hate me, for one thing. But if I don't love others, I'm really not loving myself. Because if my neighbor goes down, it's going to cost me. Whereas if I build my neighbor up, it actually is to my benefit. So self-interest includes neighbor. If my neighbor becomes a criminal, it actually hurts me. I'll have to pay the tax to take care of that one way or the other, or he'll steal from me. One way or another, I'm going to pay for that. If he becomes a Christian, it's actually to my advantage. So even though I'm interested in my neighbor, it's for my own self-interest that I'm interested in my neighbor. It doesn't hurt me at all. And if I become interested in God, that's actually to my self-interest, because if I'm interested in God and I submit myself to God, who really cares for me, actually I'm taking care of myself. D. So the best answer to human happiness is D, which includes E and F. Did you follow that? Now, this takes a long time, even though you see it on the board. You're following it like a first grader, A, B, C, D, E, E, F. But it's very hard to get this in life. In life, you've been trained so much by A, B, and C that even though you've heard of B, E, and F, it's hard to keep these clear. Not for me. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying, I settled this right off. Because I never was an A, B, C, D, E, F. I was always an A. I was a pure A. When you're a pure A, you learn right away. If you take care of yourself only, people hate you. God will kill you for eternity. I mean, so you're finished right there. But I did it anyway. I blew God off and I blew the neighbor off. I didn't care. I only looked out for my own interests. So I was a pure A. Everybody is. They just lie to themselves that they're not. I never pretended I was moral, B, and I never pretended that I was religious. Religious is B and moral is C. I never had a moral or a religious background. But I learned that I couldn't find happiness. I could not find happiness just from A. Because people don't like you if you're an A. So I could hypocritically pretend like I had some religion and pretend like I had some morality, but it was purely pretending. In my case, unlike many of you, I know for sure Peggy. Peggy actually believed she was a B, C. I never did. I never believed I was. I believed I pretended it only to get, I went to church to see the girls. I knew what my motive was. It was never to learn about God. And then I was nice to people only when they were looking, so that they would do for me. Quid pro quo. It's just, I'll do something for you and you'll do it for me. But I really wasn't doing it for them to do for them at all. I was doing it strictly for myself. And if I did something for them and it didn't work out for my benefit, I would end that doing for them totally. I always did everything selfishly. And you know what? That's the one God loves. God only loves A. He hates B and C. I'm going to say it again. He hates B and C. He hates that religion which pretends to love him, but really loves itself. And pretends to love the neighbor, but really hates the neighbor and despises the neighbor, but only serves the neighbor as a people pleaser, just simply to feed A, but pretends like they really care. Now that will get you crazy. And that's why there are many people that are crazy. Well, if you see that, blessed are you. It is all of us. It is all of us. I'm going to write down here, religion, I'm going to write religion here and morals over here. I had no religion and I had no morals. And I just want to tell you something right now. God hates all natural morals and natural religion. It's not true religion. It's a false religion and a false morals. And that's as much as natural man can produce. That's why Jesus came into the world to introduce true religion and true morals. And true religion, which is E, and true morals, which is F, are wrought by the Holy Spirit. You can't make these up. You don't have any natural ability to do true religion. E, or true morals, F. I now do true religion and true morals, not because I gave up D. I didn't give up D. I actually fulfilled D. What I gave up was A. I traded A for D. I was a selfish, no fear of God, no fear of, you know, people. I didn't care about people. I didn't try to please my mother, my father, anybody. I just pleased myself at all times. But I faked it with the other ones. I gave them a fake religion and a fake morals just to get my A. But I learned that I didn't get any happiness out of A. Even when I did everything I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, cheating people, deceiving people, lying to people, stealing from people, I did all of that, I still didn't find happiness. And so, I'll say it this way, it's not accurate, but I gave up A because it didn't work. But that's not really true. I'll just say, it became clearer and clearer to me that it wasn't working. And the real reason I became a Christian is because God loved me and He's the one that did it. I didn't back into it. If He hadn't introduced Himself as a loving God and tell me there was a D that would include everything I wanted but exclude everything I was... I never thought that A could be fulfilled by God and neighbor until He showed me a D. He said, Jim, what you're looking for is me, E, so that you can get an F, neighbor. I never knew that.
The difference between what you did and what I did was that I was going for God, but I knew something was wrong. And so I went to D, but He had to leave me because everybody said the same thing across the board. What are you doing in the church? Well, I was doing everything, but I wasn't happy. And so if you're going for God, even in that religious spirit, He will break that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It took Him a while because I kept saying, Lord, where are you in this? Paul keeps saying that there's need and He's happy.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you more than He loves anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I find, how do I get there?
Mm-hmm.
And finally He broke through.
Amen. What beauty, what
killer.
Liberty. Yeah, it's a killer. But happy now are you that you saw through that. Because it doesn't work unless you do it exactly right. So if you get A, B, and C in the picture at all, you're going to fail. And if you get it wrong with D, you shouldn't have, you'll get it wrong. You can't have the E without the D. You can't have God without self. God loves you personally. He made you as an individual, therefore He loves you. So D is proper. And D is natural. But I thought there was only A.
I didn't know D was natural. I didn't know it was right.
Yeah, it is right.
But it is
because
right.
It says you'll love your neighbor, F, as you love yourself, D. So to love God and to exclude the neighbor would be wrong, and to love God and to exclude me would be wrong. I have to love God, E, and that's the secret to both D and F. You see, then I don't have to decide how much I owe to myself and how much to the neighbor because the Holy Spirit leads me and guides me and says, Jim, don't do that. No, that's helping my neighbor. I did not want you to do that. Well, if I don't do it, who will? I'll take care of that. You take care of yourself right here. What? You mean it's all right if I lay in bed today and just take care of myself or work out in the garden or whatever else? Yes, that's my will. What? I never knew there was a D. Where you could take care of yourself and God was pleased with that. I always thought under A that if I pleased myself I had to blow God off and the neighbor. I never knew how to decide how much I gave to the neighbor and how much I gave to myself. So I just took it all for myself, figured, well, I don't know if the neighbor's going to like me or not, and I don't like the neighbor. I'm just going to get everything for myself and at least I'll get some happiness. But it didn't work. A doesn't work. B doesn't work. C doesn't work. You're a people pleaser, see? Not going to work. If you think you owe the neighbor something, nah, it's not going to work. You try to please your mother, you try to please your father, unless they're already pleased with you, there's nothing you can do to get them to be pleased with you. Even though you think there is, you're wrong. You ever tried to please somebody? That's hard to please. They're hard to please. And I don't care who it is, everybody's hard to please. Even the people that you're pleasing, they may have their own motives, like an A, and they're just abusing you. So a lot of people who are pleasing others are actually just being abused. And after a while, you get tired of it. Why am I helping this person? They're not even appreciating my help, and they're not even being helped. I'm spending so much time counseling with this person, loving this person, talking to this person, wasting my own time, neglecting my own family to help this person, and in the end, they not only don't appreciate me, they attack me, and not only that, they weren't even helped. That's amazing. Have you all discovered that? I can just tell you as a pastor, sometimes the more I spent with people, the more I found they hated me and despised me, and I was the only one helping them. I was the only one speaking the truth to them. I was the only one loving them, and then they hated me. And other people that I barely said A to, or maybe they got a tape in some other country or something, They were fine with me. And I just thought, I couldn't figure it. I couldn't figure it. So I learned that D doesn't care, because D knows that self is what God cares for. God cares for me. For God so loved the world, but he also loves Jim personally. I never knew that. I didn't even believe it when I heard it, because I never saw it in A, B, or C. I never saw a D when people were doing A, B, or C. I never saw that self-interest was actually God's interest. He wanted myself to be blessed. I never understood that. God's love of the world, well, I could understand that, but not his love of me personally. Remember Jesus said these words? The Father himself loveth you. That is amazing. I'm going to a God that loves me. I don't have to do something to get him to love me. D, self-interest, is based upon not only nature, natural, but it's also based upon revelation. When God showed up, he said, you're sinful, yes, but I love you so much that even your sin doesn't stop me from loving you.
Wow.
I just was staggered at that idea. I never saw that in A, B, or C. Now, most of you are probably somewhat akin to where Barbara was. More or less, doesn't matter. So you were a B. You weren't completely selfless. You didn't have a no self at all. You had some kind of self. But you minimize it as much as possible, and that's what B does. B tries to put A just as little as you can so that you can get a C in there, but not too much, because the C's aren't very appreciative normally and so on. So you got to have some kind of life of your own. And I've never met a person that doesn't think that way. There are no real C's. A real C would be a slave, a total slave of other people, just total people pleaser. But you meet people that look an awful lot like C, as though that would bring happiness, and they're never happy. A C is totally miserable, like a Mother Teresa or someone, seems to always care for the neighbor. There's no such person. Nobody can care just for the neighbor and neglect yourself to get the disease or whatever. You actually have to have an E God in order to be a true D. And the result or the fruit or the proof of that is F. Loving the neighbor is the proof that you love God. Or you know that you love God, but the proof is you see it in loving the neighbor. If you love God, he's going to direct you toward the neighbor. He's not going to direct you to do things for him, because he doesn't need anything. Your love to God is proven by your love to the neighbor. It doesn't need anything. It'd be different if you could, God needs some apples today. I could give him some apples. God doesn't need anything. Your love for him is to worship him, but that's not a full-time job that excludes you and the neighbor. My love to God includes my love to myself. That if I'm out, sometimes I do yard work. I did yesterday, most of the day. And, you know, cleaning out my waterfall, so on and so forth, my little lake in the back, little pond for my fish, and so on. And that's just hard work, and I hate it. I hate cleaning all the leaves out, and all the stuff that gathered over the winter, and I postponed it as long as I possibly could. But, you know, I know once you start in it, it's going to take days, you know, weeks to fill up all those bags of leaves and so on. I have a lot of trees in my yard, so it's hard to do all that, but anyway, I did it. But I actually like doing it in another way. I mean, half of me hates it and half of me likes it, because I like the way it's going to look when it's all done. And I like to put the impatience back there in the shade and put the begonias and, you know, everything. I like that. So I put color in my garden. The fish don't probably care, but I care. And just sit out there at times and relax. That's self-interest and maybe selfish. And maybe love to the neighbor, I don't have to think about it, because I just let the Lord lead me, and I didn't feel guilty about that, doing that. But, yeah, you do, you have to wrestle with that. God, is this okay? I'm taking care of myself, is that okay? Because that sounds like A again. And he's saying, no, it could be, and I'm sure it is at times. But forgive me then, if it is, because I'm not trying to destroy the neighbor. Which, if the neighbor fails, I fail. If Iraq is destroyed, I'll be destroyed. I can't destroy Iraq and say, now I've gotten rid of all my enemies, the world would be a happy place. That's silly. If the Iraqis don't get saved and blessed through our involvement, then or if only the rich businessman in America profits from it, that's not in my self-interest. So D demands that God get first due and that neighbor get second due, and I don't need to worry about myself because God has taken care of that. Now, I don't know that the neighbor will take care of me. I don't know that F will give me anything back, but you know what? I don't need it. I don't need Peggy to love me back. Now, she does, but I don't need it, because if she didn't, God would. So E is enough. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom, and you get everything else anyway. So even if Peggy didn't love me, God would probably make her love me anyway, just out of her own self-interest. That is the wonderful thing about being a Christian. You don't have to worry about it, because I can't even bother to figure all that out. I don't know how much to give myself or how much to give the neighbor or how much to give God. I don't even worry about it. Because God is awake all night long while I'm sleeping, thinking of ways to bless me deep. And so when I serve Him, I'm actually serving myself. And when I serve the neighbor, I'm actually serving myself. Whether it blesses the neighbor or not, I don't know. I don't know that the church is blessed by what I'm doing. I believe some of you are. I don't know that all are. And I believe some of you are some of the time and not at other times. I don't know how to figure all that out. So I'm not going to, because I would go crazy trying to be a bee. So I'm not going to do it. And God doesn't demand it of me. You're not God either. You don't know what's right and wrong, so I don't trust you. But that doesn't mean I don't love you. But that doesn't mean I expect you to appreciate or thank me. Don't. Thank God. If you got something good, thank God. If you didn't, tell the devil. Whatever. But, you know, I don't need the adulation, because I'm totally content in God. One of the things while you're picking leaves out of the garden that you think about is every single leaf is like a sin. That's what I think about. It's like a sin, and I don't want to get them all out of the little monkey grass things. I got a lot of monkey grass out there. But I get out every single leaf with my hands. Well, I have a blower, but the blower doesn't do it all. So I have to pick them all out. But it's beautiful when it's all done, because it looks great, because there's not a leaf. Nothing is out of place. It's all rich, dark dirt, and it's beautiful. But I like doing that. But I'm thinking, you know, that's the way it is with people in the church. And my own self is get every sin out. And then the beauty comes forth. By eliminating the bad, the good was always there, but it was covered over with leaves and debris and sticks and all kinds of things that animals and whatnot put there. And they clean all that out. And now, today after I leave, I'm going to go and buy some fish. You can buy these little feeder fish, and because the pond is big enough, they will grow over the summer, get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's amazing. They just cost 10 cents or something, but they'll get big. Did you know that? And they eat all the mosquitoes in the backyard. And you have trees. We have all trees. We're just loaded with trees. And those mosquitoes then are all over my backyard. But those little, and they love the water. So the little fish eat. That's all they eat all day long is mosquitoes. They love it. And I assign each one. Now you eat 1 million mosquitoes today. Because they bite me and I swell up. I'm not. Peggy isn't as affected as I am. She doesn't. Bed bugs don't bother her. Nothing bothers her. Everything bites me. Everything bites me. You know, my nose gets red when I go out in the sun. Everything is awful with me. I have the worst body. But I love those little fish helping me out. Well, that's self-interest, is to fix up my yard so it's beautiful. Like heaven. I just make it like heaven. And I probably overdo it. I probably do. But my son, being a horticulturist, he helps me. And he makes me pay for everything, too. You know. But he's always helped me. Jim, you need one of these bushes. And how much is that going to cost me? Well, that's going to be about $46, but it'll really look good. That's a lot. It's kind of high. You know. So I'm not sure it's my self-interest all the time that he's taking care of, but you know, I feel like I'm giving to my son, at least, and at least it's keeping him alive. You cannot figure out self-interest, God-interest, neighbor-interest, but the Holy Spirit can. And if you relax over it as a D, knowing that even if you mess up and become an A or a B or a C, He'll forgive it. But I know this, A, B, and C doesn't add happiness. And I can tell how I'm feeling. If I overdo it, I feel anxious, like, well, you spent too much time taking care of yourself today. And Peggy will get on me if I don't do things around the house. So I can't completely give myself to study or completely give myself to meetings and visits and so on and so forth. So I don't know how to figure it out. But I believe E, the Holy Spirit, will guide me and lead me to have enough self-interest that I don't have any problem with happiness, and enough God, duty to God, and enough love to the neighbor that he'll work it all out somehow. That is hard. I tell you, I don't think A, B, and C can ever work that out. But these who have self-interest, because God's interested in you. God's interest in you makes self-interest good. If you don't love yourself first, then you will never love your neighbor. Because you can only love your neighbor as you love yourself. If I don't love Peggy, how could I love you? My love to my wife is like my love to God. If I don't put God first, I'm not going to put anyone else second. I've got to put Peggy first. So even though sometimes Peggy hogs me and demands that I not go out or not do this, or that I do go somewhere, which I don't want to go. Jim, tonight we're going out. I was going to study tonight. I have a meeting tomorrow. We are going out. Okay. Where are we going to go? To Dallas. Dallas! Too far! It's too far. Let's just go up to the corner. We are going to Dallas. Yeah, and I know when Peggy has that tone, it may not be God, but I know it's Peggy. And I know that she's right. I mean, even if she's wrong about where we're going and where to, you know, all that stuff. I know she's right. I'm married. And I'll forget. I will. There's no question about it. I will just forget that I'm married at all. I'll just take her for granted. Peg, just cook and sew and do all that stuff that you're supposed to do and let me do my thing and so on. No. I will not. You are going to take me out this Friday, and don't forget it. And you'll be here. You know, and that's good, because I would totally neglect. I would totally neglect. I'm sorry, I'm not like others. I'm not thoughtful. I don't ever send out cards. I don't write letters. I don't do anything I'm supposed to do as a normal social person. So you have to forgive me, but ball God out. I mean, it's up to God to get me. And sometimes he forces me to pay my bills. You know, I'll order a book and I just won't pay for it. I'll just forget it. Yeah, I got to get to that. And then I got 15 papers stacked on it and I forget that it's there. Months later, I'll find, oh my gosh, I was supposed to pay this. Peg, did we pay this? No, we didn't. Okay, well, I just thought I'd ask. Did you want to pay that? No, okay, I'll pay it. You know, and so I am always 3 years behind, and I don't even know where my stuff is. I have a room that has all my stuff in it, but I can't find anything in the room because it's just chaos in that room. The rest of the house is okay, but that room is just chaos. But I know it's in here somewhere. Give me a week or two, I will find that thing. And David still wants me to find something or other. You know, I can't. I have I at least have 1,000 things. I have 1,000 things that I'm supposed to be doing. I can't remember any of them. I have calendars too, but I can't find the calendars. They're under some paper somewhere. You know, no matter how organized I try to get every year, I'm never organized. And so I'm just a total mess. So thank God that there's a God that loves me in spite of all that, and I don't blame people for hating me. I don't. You're right. You're completely right. I'm wrong. But I don't. It doesn't seem to make a difference. I still seem to be behind all the time, and just I never catch up. So I'm guilty all the time for being wrong. Is anybody else like me? Yeah. So it's just. I mean, it's a sin. I'm not saying it's not. And I deal with it all the time, but I've never finished it. I mean, for some reason, it's still there. I've even thought of quitting, because that way you kind of X everything out and then go to another town where you... God? No. Before men. F. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, E, which is in heaven. In other words, the good work that D does for F actually glorifies God, because only God can make you love F. That's actually the work of the Holy Spirit. I wish you would forgive me for all of the things I have done wrong and neglected to do, for the sake of the good things that I think God does use me to do, which I think are more important, but I may be wrong on a lot of those. But I do know this. I think I've done my job. I think I've done the heart of my job as good as anyone. I won't say better than most, but I'll say as good as anyone. I really do pray, and I really do praise God, and I really do fast, and I really do study hard to bring messages to you. So if that's wrong, then I've failed. But I hope that was the center of what I was supposed to do in my organization and all the other stuff. Too much fish pond work and I don't know that. That I'd probably get that all wrong. But I operate kind of by a crisis. When the IRS says you're 2 months late, that's a crisis, and I do respond to that. And, you know, so on and so forth. And when the yard gets so thick with leaves that I can't even drive the car into the driveway, I feel I should get out and do that. So I kind of operate by crisis rather than my organization. It's like, and so Peggy knows how to control me now, and that's good. Jim, don't you think that leaf pile sitting there? Yeah, you're right, yeah. Don't you think today would be the right day to do it? I think so. Jim, do it today. Okay, yeah. So she can reduce me now to effective work at times. So I let her be God sometimes. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or not, but otherwise she won't cook for me. She won't do other things. She'll punish me. So I do kind of pay attention. She's a great helpmate, but she's not a very fun enemy at all. So, I don't want her to get too ticked off at me. Let your light so shine before men, F, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven. Where am I? Where's D? E is getting glorified. F is getting blessed. But where's me getting blessed in that? Think not, 17, that I am come to destroy the law. Oh, poo. Where's my D? Don't think I've come to destroy the law. Is that B? Yes, it is. But don't think I've come to destroy B. I've come to destroy the B understanding of law, but not the E understanding through gospel. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. That's E. E is a better fulfillment of B. B doesn't fulfill the law. It's the letter of the law that killeth. Me trying to figure it out, me being under a burden, me owing my neighbor something and me something. That's too hard. For verily, truly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, that's letter, shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. That's not letter, that's the spirit of the law. That's the intent of the maker when he gave the law. Not just the letter that killeth and burdens you, B, C, but that truly fulfills it, so there is no A to pretend doing a B and a C. There's only a D that is able to submit to God, E, and fulfill F as a proof. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, and that's what people who are A's, who are pretending to be B's and C's, do. They have to break some of the commandments because they have to explain why they're doing what they're doing. Because they can't figure it. So they start lying. They teach men, well, you don't have to actually do that. So he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, not in it at all. Least doesn't mean least. It means not in it at all. Least in the kingdom. In other words, you're outside the kingdom of heaven. You're not included. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, only the great are going to be redeemed. The least are going to be excluded. For I say unto you, it's going to make it clear now, that except your personal righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, B, BC, BC. They're only pretending that they conquered A. Scribes and Pharisees are actually A's pretending to do B and C. But I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds that, so in other words, it's a D, E, and F, of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter. Now you see excluded, the least. I say unto you, unless, you see, they're the least, but unless your righteousness exceeds, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's strong. Now you see that religion is not going to make it. You are going to make it because I've been hard on you. Not really. I've only been hard on you to teach you the difference between an A and a D. To show you the difference between a B and an E. To show you the difference between a C and an F. That's the only reason I've been hard on you, is just to get that to you, because I felt that was my job to do that. I found that. I want you to know that. God told me to do that. Thus saith the Lord. You have heard it said by them of old, you shall not kill. Now he's dealing with the Ten Commandments. I told you the first four commandments are B or E. And the second six are what you do, C or F. You see how I did that? So the first four commandments are the religion. That's what the duty you owe to God, the first duty you owe to God. The second six are owed to society, the neighbor, your fellow man, including politics. All of that's included in the second table of the law, not in the first table of the law. However, in order to break the second table, you have to break the first table first. Or every sin against your fellow man is always a sin against God. If you do B and you do C, you sinned against God. But if you do E and then you do F, you did it right. But that has to be based upon D, not A. Because A is hypocrite. D is filled with the Spirit. Because you sought first the kingdom. Is it too hard? I'm trying to make it simple. I want you to get this. You have to get the tape and remember your little drawing. Make your drawing yourself. Go home and listen to it. Because it's the key to everybody. You could solve everybody's problem right here. Everybody's looking for human happiness. No one's finding it. Even Christians aren't finding it because they're all confused. I'm unconfusing all the confusion. I'm just going to tell you this is so simple that if you get a hold of it, it'll solve every problem. And you'll be happy all the time. You won't just say you're happy, you actually will be happy.
Basically not concentrating on A, B, C, D, E, F, or M, it's basically just concentrating and centering on the Lord.
Yeah.
Is that not correct?
That's
when
correct.
We're not terrible about
that. Except that when people hear that, they may think B and C and not think. See, that when you say that, it's not clear though to people. When you say Lord, they don't know the difference between B and C, or B and E. Yeah, B and E. They don't know the difference. So yes, you understand that, but not everybody understands that. Most of the people think A, B, C. It doesn't matter when you say religion, they think B.
I know I'm getting out of his presence and into depression. I don't know what fixing that anxiety.
You do. Yeah, exactly. I believe that of you. I believe that of you. But I'm just saying, for you, yes, it's simple, only because you went through the hell to get there. You would not have gotten that had you not gone through hell. When A, B, and C didn't work for you, that's why you got D, E, and F. So you're right. The words are right. But the understanding to anybody else around you, they will always drop back to A, B, and C.
And you do drop back to A, B, and C as soon as you start turning your back on the Lord again.
Right.
And neglecting.
Right. Exactly. Seek first the kingdom, E. Seek first the kingdom. Not the least, A, B, C, but the greatest, D, E, F. Seek first the kingdom, E, U, D, seek first E, and then everything will be added to you. To you, to you, to you, to you, D. You see that? Seek first the kingdom, and it'll be to your benefit. It's to D's benefit to seek E, and F is the proof of it. It's to D's benefit. When you seek God, you're not going against yourself. You're actually fulfilling yourself. You're finding yourself. You lose yourself. Actually, you find yourself. But to an A, he lost himself. But A needs to be lost. Because D is the self you need to find. And D cares for God, and D cares for the neighbor. Right, let's finish the scripture here. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, do you ever have a cause for anger towards your brother? Whoever is angry toward his brother without a cause, in other words, you don't have a cause, without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Racha, shall be in danger of the council. You fool. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. So, if I'm going to neglect my neighbor and call him a fool and despise him and look down on him, F, I'm in danger. D, I just hurt D. I hurt me. And I didn't obey E, God. That's not what God wanted. God doesn't want me to destroy my neighbor. Anger, in this sense, is not to chasten my neighbor, but is to destroy him. It's not to rebuke my neighbor, but is to reject him. It's not to judge my neighbor, like give him a judgment. Give him your judgment. But it's like to judge him, despise him. Look down on him. And he feels that. Peggy knows when I'm demeaning her. She's very sensitive to that. Because I usually attend it with such things as... And she can just tell by my eyes and my little clicking sound that, you know, that I'm putting her down. And so she'll go back like this. You know. And that's a reminder to me that I just shouldn't have done that. And I apologize. I said, I'm sorry. You're right. I did it. I'm sorry. I'm used to putting people down. I did it. Do you all have that? See, you may not make the noise, but you actually do it anyway. Like, inside of you go, you're such a fool. But you may not say it. You just may think it. As I've said many times, it just comes up naturally. I just see people. I don't even know them. I'll just, yeah, she's too fat. Yeah, she shouldn't wear pink. That looks terrible on her. Yeah, he is, I wouldn't want to live with him. And I can just do that without even knowing him. I just can walk by a stranger, and I know all about him. I'm such a quick study. Is anyone else as clever as I am? I don't even need to know them. And I can just tell by the clothing they're wearing and by the, you know, attitude and whatnot. And I just can make all kinds of judgments and despise them and put them down and correct them. I am a natural corrector. Does anybody else have that gift? It's just a marvelous gift. Not from God. Therefore, if you, thou, bring thy gift, personal, DDD, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother, FFF, hath aught against you, has anything against you. Is there someone out there who's a brother? Not an enemy. But is there someone out there that's a brother, and they have anything against you? Make sure you get it right before you go to bed. Don't let sleep keep the anger. I mean, that other person's having a problem with you, and you got to solve it. Now, how many know that we have failed that a time or two, where we have let them go to bed angry? That's why I always wake Peggy up. I mean, literally, I'll just push on her hip there, just laying in bed, and push on her peg. You okay? Fine. And I can tell by the word fine that that's the letter of the law that kill us. She's not fine at all. Peg, you wake up. What do you want to say? I don't want to talk about it right now. I know, but let's talk about it right now. No. Let me sleep. I'll get over it. No, you won't. What is it? No, Peg, just say something. Is it against me? No. Was it something that God did wrong? You know it's not God. Okay, well... Is it against yourself? Are you mad at yourself? Probably. Okay, well, are you mad at me too? Yes. But that may take a half an hour to get to that one. But I know she's mad at me. I know she's never mad at herself or God. It's always me. So I just keep moving on. Peg, isn't this what your father did when you were four? This is just a... Y'all don't have humor, I have, but anyway. Are you really mad at me? Isn't this what your dad did? Isn't this a pattern in your life? Is it really me that have caused all your problems in your whole life? Yes. Is that an emotional statement? Yes. Well, would you like to take it back? No. My wife is not a rational person, but she is emotional, and I do know she's mad. I'm very clear that she's mad. So we will stay up until we work it out. And it's very hard because I am getting sleepier and sleepier because she will drag these things out interminably rather than just confess her sin. She's very slow. But in recent years, we got more sleep. Because she has come and said, Jim, actually, she's the one now initiating it. It's great. She just goes, man, God, in fact, this morning, God is really dealing with me on some things. What? Say, what is it? So tell her. It's great. We have great fellowship that way so that our prayers are powerful because they're related not to games that we're playing, but to reality. Husbands and wives don't communicate well because they tend to play games because they can't sort all this out or just neglect it or whatever. There's a thousand ways to do it. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying it's better if you can come together in E and realize that, Peggy, I'm not the source of your happiness. E is not D. And that helps because she's looking to E, D, me, to be the source of her happiness, or I'm actually to her an F. But she's looking to me then to be the source of her happiness. I'm like, God, I did wrong. But she doesn't like it that I admit that right away because she doesn't want me to get off the hook that quick. So if I say, okay, I did wrong. What do you want me to do? What can I do for you? Go out twice tonight or what? What can I do? And she doesn't want me to get cheaply off because, see, that's too cheap. She wants me to pay dearly. As long as she's been agonizing over it, I have to equal. And then I have to use scriptures like, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I have to use all these scriptures so that... But anyway. She's a tough nut. But you know what? I'm worthy of it. I'm worthy of it. I love it. We're equally, and you know that's what makes the marriage good. We're equally wicked. Equally wicked. There was a time when I was the only wicked and she was the only good. And then over the years, we became equal. And then over the years, she's actually been confessing more than I have. It's been great. So she's not even worried about me anymore, which is wonderful. That just shows, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. It's not yours, it's his. It's a gift. Not under the law, it's a gift of grace. Wow. Makes for a better marriage. You understand? So that I can say to her without her judging, Peg, I did wrong. And not have her add to it. The Lord has shown me I've done wrong. Well, that's right, too. You know, and that always is a downer. It's like, okay, you're supposed to pray for me and fast for me and help me out and comfort me and give me a nice scripture instead of adding to what all my enemies are saying. I've turned to you as a friend, as a pal. Y'all, do you see the humor of this? You may not. God wants us to get together, F. Because D's interest is F's interest. When I bless Peggy, I'm blessing Jim. And that blesses God. When Peggy blesses me, that blesses her. And that blesses God. Y'all understand that? That's D, E, and F. That's how it works. Self-interest and other interest are combined in God. Seek first the kingdom of God, he'll give you everything else. You'll get everything. You when you serve your neighbor, your wife in this case, your husband in this case, when you serve him or her, you're blessed. It's amazing. I have to die to do that, but not under the A system, under the D system. Well, it's easy for me to die if I know that God will guarantee me, even if Peggy abuses me, that's all right, because she can't. Because God's bigger, he's smarter, he's greater. So she really can't even hurt me. It is so powerful to fight when you can't lose. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? If you have an E, D can never lose. because you have a God. Even if Peggy got mad at me for the rest of her life and did everything she could do to hurt me and so on, it's all right. I still have an E that says, Jim, I love you. How many know that D's can do wrong? That's you. You can do wrong. It's okay. God is not weighing that. He paid for that already. So he's trying to get that out of the way so we can have a lot of time left over for the neighbor. And when you do that, you actually are fulfilled. You actually get more. By neglecting yourself in favor of E and F, you actually enhance yourself. So the way that doesn't make any sense to the natural world. To the natural world, it's ABC. But in the spiritual world, when a D takes care of E first and F second, he's actually taking care of himself all the while. I don't even know how that works. That is so incredible. How can I deny myself to give God his duty and then to give the neighbor the rest of the duty, because God will never let my neighbor get rid of me, because he's just. So when I seek first the kingdom, he actually takes care of me, D. Even while I'm taking care of F, he's taking care of me. It's unbelievable. And he'll actually turn my enemies and make my enemies, F, bless me. Instead of just taking and blessing themselves, they'll actually bless me back. And it's like, wow, I don't even deserve that. I don't need it because E took care of me. But then when F loves me back, it's like, whoa, that is really cool, because that was a free gift. Peggy did not have to love me. I've been so mean over the years. She doesn't have to love me. We don't have the ABC arrangement anymore. It's great. She's just doing it for free. It's kind of like, wow, how incredible. I'll even ask her, what are you doing? You're baking my favorite food. You know, you're helping me out here in the yard. Remember I asked you yesterday and you wouldn't do it? What are you out here for? I don't know. Just thought I'd come out here. It's like, well, did God make you come out? Yeah, made me come out here. No, she said, no, I want to be out here with you. Okay, well, praise God. It's like free. Like nobody's making you do it. You see, under law, she doesn't want to come out in the yard. But under grace, she's out in the yard helping me. Now, that's not really true. She hadn't done that, but I'm just indicating. Because right now, she's focused on visiting Kara, our oldest, who has six kids with number seven on the way. Did you know that, Joe? Yeah, going to have another one now. And so Peggy's real excited, and then when the baby comes, she's going to go back again. She's just constantly spending our money and taking her time and neglecting me. I'm all alone at home. Got only peanut butter, maybe ice cream to eat for a week or two. And, you know, just, but it's great because she's happy doing what she wants to do as a D. And she feels, whether God wants her to or not, she's going to do it. But she feels like this is okay and I approve. I said, go and have fun. Be with your daughter. Be with your grandkids, you know. And then explain to them why Grandpa can't come. Because little Ben, that's Kirsten's little boy. Where's Grandpa Jim? I want Grandpa Jim. That's what he said to Peggy when she came. Where's Grandpa Jim? Well, he couldn't come. I want Grandpa Jim. I love it. Go over that again, how he did that. It's great. The little kid's completely fool. Yeah, he thinks Grandpa Jim's okay. So, I like it when she goes. It's good. It's good for me that she's happy, that she has the freedom to spend the money. You know, should I get out of the airport and then take a cab, take a bus, or take the train, or a limousine? Wow. Well, what's the difference? Well, you know, $60 for the limo, $6 for the train. Take the train. And so she says, you know what? I've taken the train for I don't know how many years, and it's hell. And could we just blow it and go by the limo? Hey, look at the difference between 6 and 60. 60 minus 6, $54. Think of all we could do with that. I said, could we? And she knows, of course, I'm going to say yes. Absolutely. Do it. What else is money for? Go for it. And she goes, well, the one loss on that is I won't be able to brag anymore that I only spent $6. And that's important to her, being a Scot, that she didn't waste money But she went through the Harlem area and, you know, all through the hellish parts of town and had to drag her suitcases with her and all this stuff and had to get people's help. This time, it's going to be easy on her. Go straight to where she belongs. But that's part of working out D, E, and F. Is it God's will that she wants something as a D and that God will allow her to have D rather than for the sake of everybody else? You know, because we can save all our money so we can give it to the grandkids. Or we can spend the $60 on the limo and the grandkids get beans. It's okay. Do you understand? Because actually God will work it out so that they get whatever they need and she'll get whatever she needs. Because it's worth it at her age and with her hip thing that she not take the risk. Whereas when she was younger, it was good for her to suffer and be sacrificial. I don't know why you didn't buy that. I don't know why you saw through that. Oh, it's fun. We all do that, do we not? We all will justify certain things at times, and it's okay. God's okay with it. He's not angry at us because we're a D. We're not an A. He doesn't look at us. We are A's, but he looks at us as a D. And I'm learning to look at myself as a D with self-interest. Self-interest is not always wrong. In fact, it's never wrong. But make sure it's self-interest, and the true self puts God first and the neighbor. Love this myself. Isn't that powerful? In other words, what would I want to do? What would I want to do if I went to New York and had to drag all my bags around? What do I do when I go to Russia or whatever? Well, sometimes I sleep on the floor and neglect myself. But sometimes I don't. So only the Holy Spirit can lead you on that. You know how I decide? It's real easy. God, what do you want? That's so simple. God, what do you want? What's good for them? I don't need to worry about what's good for Jim. Now, if I felt it was going to be a disease so that that'd be the last time I'd ever get to go, well, ask God. God, do you want me to get a disease and not go again? Or whatever. I can trust God. So E is trusting God. Trust in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Because he's going to tell me what to do. I don't even know what my self-interest is. Sometimes I will eat the local food, and sometimes I will not. How do I know? Sometimes I offend the people when I don't eat it. But I consider that just juvenile on their part. You know, I'm not going to eat your local food because you cooked it in your local kitchen, which is not sanitary. And I don't have the bug resistance that you all locals have because you're still alive. And I won't be because even if little bugs bite me, I break out. You know, so I'm not, if you want me to ever come back, it's to your self-interest that I not eat your local food. Do you have any bananas? Because at least you can't ruin them because they're protected by that skin on the outside. So I'll eat bananas and drink my bottled water that I bought in the airport before I got off the plane. You know, I will take care of myself, D, in good self-interest for their sake. It's not hurting them. It's actually to their advantage. Do you see how I decided that? They said, you must eat the local food, otherwise you offend everybody. I said, too bad. I will offend everybody, but it's to your best interest and everybody's best interest that I stay alive. Now, there's no right answer there. You just have to have the Holy Spirit and make your decision. And therefore, I'm not a people pleaser, C. But I'm not against the people at all, F. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit. And am I immature at times? Yes. Am I sinful at times? Yes. Am I an A at times? Yes. I'm seldom a B or a C, but I'm sure there probably has been a moment or two when I've done that, but probably not likely. But I default easily to the A position. But God has been teaching me over the years, Jim, don't go that way because it never works out for your happiness. The problem with A is A can't find happiness without God, without the neighbor. I keep forgetting. How many know what I'm talking about? If you take care of yourself, you're not taking care of yourself unless God shows you how to take care of yourself because he made you. He knows a lot more about who you are than you do. Another thing my family likes to do is when we come together as a family, they like to play cards or other games. They have 30-some games. And I hate games. I hate them. But over the years, they have told me, yeah, but if If we play a game because we all want to, and you won't play, then you're punishing us because we want to be with you and we want you to be with us. Yep, you're forcing me to do what I hate doing. Why don't you all do what I want? You know. And so anyway, I've lost that argument. But anyway, so now I play and I've become vicious. I want to win every card game. You know, and they keep teaching me these new games because they don't want me to learn the other game that I just learned. So it's a new one. You know, we played Rook the other day. You know, I don't know what that is. So, you know, so it's kind of, you know, they've got me broken now, broken me down. So that my self-interest in having the family includes playing the card game, you know, whatever it is, which I consider, you know, un-Christian and not good and so on and so forth. But they consider that, you know, a good thing to do. So they've spoiled me. I was more pure before. Now. All right. Therefore, leave your gift before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift to God. Wow. It pleases God when I bless the neighbor. It pleases God, E, when I bless my neighbor, F. And it's better for me, D. God didn't even need my gift, E. He wanted me to take care of F. That pleased him. Then give my gift to E. Isn't that interesting? In other words, Jim, don't neglect your family to say you're blessing me. Like go in the back room and pray or something. No, no, no. You stay with your family. This is your family. These are family get-togethers and family memories, and it means a lot to them to gather together and to be as a family. Grandmother, Margaret, David, Mary, Mom, me, you know, the other kids when they can come. And, you know, that means a lot to them, so I've learned I'm wrong. It pleases God when I'm doing what they're saying to do because they're right and I'm wrong. And so that's good. As I said, I'm learning to actually get into it. All right, now what's the Rook do? You know, and I don't know all these games at all. They know Euchre and Canasta and everything. They know all these card games, and I don't know them. To me, it's like, you're not supposed to do that. They're teaching me that family values are above my morality and my religion. Agree with thine adversary quickly while you're in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer cast you into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. You have heard that it was said of old, shall not commit adultery. I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Do you see what's going on here? I don't think you do. Listen carefully. What he's saying is, you've heard the letter of the law, don't commit adultery, and you meant by that, physically I didn't do it. But I say, committing adultery, the spirit of that law means, don't even look at a woman lustfully. Wow. That is different. That's a positive. Look on another person as your beloved, not as someone to abuse and use, even if you didn't commit actual adultery with her, you've done it. If you didn't do the positive spirit of the law, which was to love that person. Wow, that's totally, Jesus is giving a much deeper meaning in the Sermon on the Mount than just Moses. Moses only said, don't injure your neighbor. Jesus is saying, love your neighbor. Totally different. The positive is harder. The policeman says, don't go over 55, but he doesn't tell me what speed to drive. Just don't go over. Don't injure your neighbor. But he doesn't tell me to love my neighbor. The policeman tells me, you know, don't go over and burn your neighbor's house down. But he doesn't say, go and paint your neighbor's house. You see? Big difference between love and law. The law only tells me what not to do and the punishment tied to it. But love tells me to do whatever's good for my neighbor, F. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit will guide me. Because he's saying, Jim, do whatever blesses the church. Do whatever blesses your wife. Do whatever blesses your children. Well, I don't even know what all that is. And then what about me? And he's saying, don't worry about you. I'll take care of you. Well, how? He said, that's mine to take care of. I'll take care of that.
Yeah, but what if I do for them and they don't do back for me and they don't appreciate me and so on and so forth?
And he said, don't worry about that. I'll reward you. Oh, okay. Well, then that's it. I don't worry then about being hurt. I don't have to have a husband that will love me back. I don't have to have a wife that will care for me. Do you see what I'm saying? There can be no divorce in a DEF. The whole mind is changed. I don't need someone to respond back. F doesn't have to reward me. I'll get all my reward from E. I can completely live in a bad world, a bad situation, and yet love in spite of it. That's what Jesus said. And that's what he's taught us today. You can actually be peaceful when the lady cheats your mother and then gets mad at you. Oh. That's what Jesus did. He didn't care, because Jesus will take care of your mother, and he'll take care of you, and he'll take care of that woman. I don't have to do it. Thank God. All I need to do is be at peace. Make sure that I give to God the praise to his name and love and forgiveness to the person who has offended me, or love to them who need it, require it. But you see, that person doesn't dictate. The Holy Spirit's dictating. I don't know how to love the neighbor. I don't know whether too much and too little, and how much is mine and how much is theirs. I don't know what to do with my time. I don't know what to do with everything. So God, you work it out. Please forgive me, because I know I've wasted time. I know I've done a lot of wrong things. All right. Did you learn anything today? What's the source of happiness? What's the source of happiness? Being selfish? Being selfless? Trying to figure out half and half? What's the right balance? That's the world's way. Or trusting God, which is put first God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Take care of God first at your expense. But God loves you. Therefore, the one I'm trusting is the one that loves me the most. I don't have to worry now, because he'll take care of all my needs. My God will supply all my needs. And then I have time left over with nothing to do. And God directs my love to him, my thanks to him, to the neighbor. Why? Because I don't need to take care of myself. Because he'll tell me when to take care of myself and when to take care of the neighbor. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know when to take care of my own house. I wouldn't know when to, you know, witness to my own children. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know how much is too much and how much is not enough. I don't know, because I don't. That is too big for me. But I know this, that's the spirit of love. The spirit of love is, Jim, don't worry about yourself. I love you, so you can love yourself, but you don't know how to love yourself. So love me and love the neighbor, and I'll direct it all, and you'll see it'll all work out. Gotta have a God to do that. The world can never do that. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world to teach what Moses could not teach the world. He could tell you how to do a B and a C, but he couldn't help you with it. Even natural people know about B and C. They don't know how to do it. They're going to always end up being an A. And so all Moses really could do was prove that A is A. That's all he could prove. And he could also prove that A is not D. And B is not E. And C is not F. That is so amazing. So Moses is very helpful by showing us what not to do. But he can't help us to do what we need to do. The Old Testament law cannot help me to do what I need to do. It can only expose me as not doing what I need to do. Which reason cannot do. Reason has trouble. It knows that there's God, and it knows that there's the fellow man, but it doesn't know how to figure out how to do it. So the best it comes up with is a B, and a B won't do it. You can try all you want, you'll end up being an A every time. And you're going to get hurt and bitter. It's going to produce hurt and bitterness. That's why old people generally are cynical. Old people generally are sad and miserable. They're not happy unless they found D, E, and F. You can tell. You can look at old people and you can tell if they're D, E, and F. But it's like, wow, they have such radiance and such peace, and they're, you know, everything doesn't go their way or whatever. But they don't lose their joy. They definitely have a God. Happiness then is God. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I hope you're blessed today. Were you blessed, Joe?
I have a God.
Yeah, you have a God. And so it's a good description, and I hope you can use it not for yourself, but more importantly for those around you, so you can help to see where they are. Most of them are in A, B, and C. I guarantee that 90% of the population is A, B, C. Even in the church, I would say that. Even though they may be D, E, and F, let's say, by faith, they haven't developed that at all. So they just default back into A, B, and C. So that's why you can counsel them easily to say, you know, you're looking for happiness in the wrong place. You're thinking your husband's going to be an idol. You know, he's going to take care of you. He's not. You're looking to your husband for security, for reliability, for companionship, for whatever. And every once in a while you can get a little bit of that, but it's pretty hard. It's kind of like digging for gold. You have to dig up a lot of dirt to get the gold. You all see what I'm saying? You just can't look to people. And so, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll add everything else to you. Wow, what a better way to live. I like this new way. It's just fit for me. I mean, it's made for real people. So whether you're an A, B, or a C, stop it. Repent. Become a D, E, and an F. Oh, then your self-interest, it's important. You must have self-interest. You must have self-interest. That's not selfishness. That's not selflessness. And it's certainly not hypocrisy. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for this message about happiness. And we have all decided right now that we will be, from this day forward, happy. And now we know how. And we know all the wrong ways to do it. And we know all the right ways to do it. And it's so simple. As Joe said, I have a God. And as Debbie said, oh, just boils down to this. Put all your trust in the Lord. Exactly. And so we give you the praise, Lord God, that you've taught us this simple, successful way of being happy at all times. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.